Oh, amen. Well, please do take a seat. And we've got a little bit of something different happening this morning. While we're in this series, in the Psalms, which is so often thought of as a book of hymns, a book of worship, that actually this would be a good chance for us as a church just to stop and to reflect a little bit on our life of worship, and particularly the place that music plays within the life of our church. Now, David Freestone, who has just played the organ for us, has for many, many years now, longer than I've been here, much longer than I've been here, by which I mean on earth at all. No, just certainly since my time at St. John's, David has guided the musical life of our church and the way in which music feeds into our worship and helps us express our worship. So I've invited David this morning to come and just to share some thoughts about what guides that and why is it that we have such a breadth, such a diversity of styles of music and worship this morning. So David, take a seat. Thank you very much. Give the guy a round of applause. Come on. Brilliant. So David, let's take a step back from the sort of the particular context of St. John's and what we do in St. John's. Let's just think about music generally in the worship of Christians, in the worship of church. Why is it that music is so important for Christians? We've always sung. Why is that?
Okay, so, I mean, if we just think in terms of our own human lives, most people, I think, would say that the arts and perhaps music in particular speaks to places that ordinary talking and ordinary life doesn't. If you're probably aware of studies that show that if children learn a musical instrument, they do better, they're more stable, all kinds of things like that. Why should that be? Well, I think the Bible gives us an explanation for that.
Right.
Zephaniah, one of the Old Testament prophets, is a very interesting verse that talks about God singing over his people. So God sings. It's as if singing and music is really something quite core to life. And then we as human beings are made in God's image. That's when we did Genesis before Christmas.
Yeah.
It was about being made in God's image as humans. And for me, the bit about that I always go to is the creativity of God that is in our lives as well. And we are creative because we are made in God's image. So it's kind of God sings and it's kind of natural if we sing. There's another fascinating verse that I was pointed to quite recently at the beginning of Ephesians, well, chapter 2. Which is quite often, you'll probably know it, it's quite often translated as, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The word that's used, it was pointed out to me, is poemas, which is where we get our word poem from. So we are God's poem. We're a work of art that God is creating. And I found that. Music and art seems to be core, something core to being a human being, made in the image of God. And then you look through the biblical record, they're singing all the way through, which you mentioned. That I was trying to work out the first recorded instance of singing in the Bible. The one I came up with, see if you can find an earlier one, was Moses, when he'd got across the sea and got away from the Egyptian army. What did he do? He sang. And music, as you say, has been present almost always through the history of the church in one form or another. And I kind of, the bit of church history that I know, on the odd occasions when it's been tried to be suppressed, it didn't stick, it kind of perked back up again.
Yeah.
So, in short, there seems to be something really quite foundational about music, I think.
So what is it that takes something from the category of music and singing and puts it into the category of worship? So we come along here, we sing. Is that kind of like it's almost like karaoke? I don't know. What's the difference between something like that, or a concert maybe where we're singing along with words of songs that we know. What is it that takes it from that and makes it an act of worship, per se?
Okay, so the mechanics of singing, the mechanics of making music are the same, whatever context you're doing it. So the difference has to be, well, making music is about communication. And it's, what am I communicating, and who am I communicating to,
right,
and who am I communicating about? So for me, music in worship is not about the mechanics. You know, I use the same muscles in my body I use to make the sound. It's, what is it that I'm actually doing? Who am I singing for? Who am I playing for? Who are we singing for? What is it that we're trying to communicate? And we might know, you know, some of that we might know, and then other bits of communication will go on top that, by the Holy Spirit, we pray, will come through as well.
Right. Okay. So thinking about the fact that we gather here in the name of Jesus week by week, again, just thinking more generally about worship, how can we prepare ourselves for worship so that our services are spiritually, I suppose, have greater integrity and authenticity about them?
I think there's some things that we can all do, and then there are some things that particularly the people who are musicians in the various groups can do that are special. If I talk about... Well, let's do the people who are specialist musicians set apart. The importance there is to prepare, to plan, and to rehearse so that we can do our very best to lead the worship and to give of our very best as a response to what God's given us. And that's important, and all the groups do that. And, you know, that's not something new. If you read the references to music in the Bible, you see they have to have prepared in order to do what they did. They didn't just come together and do it. There was preparation, there was planning. So that's kind of what we do from up front. But I think perhaps more importantly, and perhaps what you were really asking, is what can we all do? And I think it's to pray before we come, and to come with expectancy and with engagement. What do I mean by that? I mean actually prepared to take part and engage with whatever's going on, whatever the music is. It works for other parts of the service as well, of course, but particularly for the music, there'll be stuff that's familiar, there'll be stuff that's unfamiliar. And if we're asking God to speak to us through the worship, I think we have to expect him to do that. We ask him to do that. We expect him to do that. And then we need to actually wholeheartedly take part in order to be able to open the door for him to speak to us.
Right. Okay. Let's get to some of the more gritty stuff. Why is it that music is so contentious in the life of a church? I'm just speaking as a pastor. I would say probably more than any other issue in the life of church, music and how music functions within church is the thing that most frequently most people who complain about. Maybe it's just me, I don't know, but why is that? Why is it that we feel so strongly about our music?
You may not be surprised. This is something I've thought about quite a lot over the years. And I think for me, it is, I've come to the conclusion, it's because of what I said at the beginning. Music is very close to something core about our humanity that music expresses. And certainly, I mean, even in just everyday life, music is close to people's identity. I've got a DAB radio in our car that's forever going off, so I'm forever having to reprogram it. And the number of different music stations there are with different subtle types of different music is enormous. And there's a lot of identity that's caught up with the particular style of music that I follow, that I know about, that I'm engaging with. And I don't think that's new, because if you look in the Bible, there, we were doing Psalms, we're going to be doing Psalm 137 in a few weeks' time. And the psalmist there speaks for the people in exile in Babylon and says, how can I sing the Lord's song in an alien land? That their music was tied up with our identity, even, what would it be, 3,000 years ago?
Yeah.
So I suppose the conclusion I've come to is that when there are disputes, tensions about music in a church, it's actually a symptom of something deeper, and that there are other tensions going on, and maybe the music is a kind of, I don't know, a lightning rod or something for something that's actually rather more deeper that really needs to be dealt with. I mean, obviously it's desperately sad, and we all know of churches that actually split in half over the, I mean, I certainly do, and I'm sure you do.
So, I mean, one of the things I think that's characteristic, particularly at St. John's, is the way in which, for many years now, you have sought to protect a diversity of musical styles. So there will be services like this morning where everything is on the organ and has kind of got that sort of classic feel to it. There'll be other services that have much more contemporary feel. There'll be services that are trying to kind of blend those two things together. That sort of commitment to diversity, is that just you trying to keep everybody happy? You know, if I can't please everybody all the time, but I can at least please some of the people some of the time. Or actually, is there more to it than that?
sometimes it feels like I'm keeping nobody happy any of the time. there's a verse that I just find myself drawn back to time and time and time again. That Paul writes, it's in Colossians. It's actually, he makes the same argument in Ephesians, but the Colossians one is particularly pertinent. He talks there about, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord. It's a very short phrase, but that's steered me for ages. And he talks about three categories of music, three styles of music: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, psalms are the psalms, and we're doing those in glorious technicolor for this, which is great. And then he talks about hymns and spiritual songs, which hymns are believed to be a kind of art music, and spiritual songs are believed to be a kind of street music. So if you like concert hall music and popular music of one description or another. Now, even if that's not quite right, he is definitely talking about different categories of music. And for me, the most important word is not psalms, not hymns, it's not spiritual songs, it's the smallest word of the lot, and. Paul was an educated man. If he wanted to, he could have said, sing psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs. But he didn't. He said, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that has steered me really quite a lot for many years. But if I could just say something else, it's actually relatively recently that I started looking where that little phrase was in the letter. And in a sense, if you read it, it comes out of nowhere. It's in the middle of a paragraph that's talking about how to get on as a church, how to behave with one another, how to interact with one another. A little bit earlier, just in verse 13, it starts at a very basic level. It's a phrase that's normally translated, I think, as bear with one another. I've got a rather gritty translation at home that I rather like, and it translates that as put up with one another. That's the very basic level. Very quickly it goes on to say, much better, clothe yourself with love for one another, but start with, put up with one another. Anyway, he talks about that, and then just drops in, sing these songs. So it's kind of reinforced this view that music is somehow symptomatic of the core of what we're doing. And if we're relating to each other well, and in particular relating to the differences, it seems to me, as I read the New Testament, that it says a lot more in about how churches should deal with differences between people than about similarities. And this really talks to that to me, that the use of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in our worship is a way to bind us together with our differences. It'd be a real shame, wouldn't it, if someone becomes a Christian and we say, oh, really glad you're a brother or sister. Would you mind going to a different church, please, because you don't really fit in here? That would be so sad.
So are you saying that a church that doesn't capture in its worship all three categories of those songs is actually being really quite profoundly unbiblical and is actually denying the unity that we have in the gospel?
That's quite a strong statement, but I think that is the direction, that is where I've sort of come to, really.
Right. So if we stop singing hymns, you would be saying, actually, that's actually denying the gospel that brings us all together in Christ.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I think so. So with that in mind, that kind of puts things in a much deeper context than actually just the kind of style of service that I personally prefer, which I think is very often the level that we engage with. It's like, oh, I don't like this kind of music. But, you know, you were saying earlier that music actually is quite deep in us and shapes our identity. So what would you say, pastorally, as it were, to somebody who walks in on a Sunday morning and goes, oh, it's hymnos this morning. Oh, I hate these old hymns. Or somebody who comes in and goes, oh, it's the band this morning. Oh, I hate this noise. You know, because that's how people think and feel. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, you know, I'd like to talk that through. I mean, talking is better than getting pent up and bottling stuff up. I think what I like to do is try and paint the bigger picture, like I was just doing just then. But in practical terms, I'd really encourage that person, that hypothetical person, to to do is to come consistently to services here week after week to see the overall pattern. The way we happen to do it, you know, there are pragmatic choices that we've made. There is some diversity within an individual service. There is diversity across a month, and there actually is diversity across a year as well. So you only see all of that if you come consistently week after week and build up the general pattern. And that's one thing I'd say. Another is talk to other people about different life experiences and what it is about that style of music that talks to, because we learn so much by interacting with difference rather than just in our own little subworlds. So come regularly and talk to each other. Let's talk to each other.
One of the things I remember you saying when we were working this all through was what you long for is a situation where somebody comes into church and the words for a hymn come up and somebody goes, oh, yeah, I cannot stand this hymn. Yeah. But I know so-and-so loves this.
Yes.
So I am going, because of my love for them in Christ, I am going to sing this hymn with every bit of energy and enthusiasm as I would if it was a song that I really resonated with and personally find much more appealing.
Yeah, very much. It was, I should just make that specific. I heard very specific, I said, in his church, Shine Jesus Shine, everybody for one reason or other said they didn't like it, but he just said, wouldn't it be more Christian if the response was, actually, I'm glad we're going to sing that because I know Mrs. Jones likes it.
So actually, worship is not just something that we're expressing to God. We can actually be expressing our love for one another and our joy in one another's faith in Christ by the way in which we engage with different styles of music.
Yeah. Yes, because that, well, I mean, I think I've said it already, but it is two things. It means that we're engaging with other people who are different from ourselves, and we're learning from them. We can give to them, and we can take from it. We learn from each other in both directions. It's not a, you know, it's not that what I bring is invalid. It's part of the mix, and we need to share with each other and learn from each other.
Yeah, because the person who loved that hymn is going to have to sing.
Yeah,
something
exactly
that they
so.
Don't like
yeah,
because
exactly.
it's something I
yeah.
really
yeah.
celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is such an important part of our life together. I mean, you've spoken a little bit about the way in which it touches some of the deepest elements of the gospel, some of the way in which it builds us as a church, expresses our love for one another. It's a deep part of our spirituality. If somebody wanted to get more directly involved in this area of our life together, how would they go about doing that?
First thing to say is we always want more people to come and sing and play with us. So, basically, come and talk to me, talk to the, there. You'll know that here we've got three groups that we have on a rota. Talk to any of the leaders. We talk to each other so we can work together. We'll probably talk with you, play with you a bit, sing with you a bit, and try and work out together how best to make to fit you in so that it works for you and for the church as a whole. So basically, come and talk to us. There is just coming up, it happens to be the right time of year, we do have a bigger choir for the Carols by Candlelight. Yes, Christmas is coming. there'll be three rehearsals for that in December, so if you just want to put a toe in the water, that's quite often quite a good place to start. Come and see me.
Right. And as a church, like how can we pray for musicians and singers and those who lead us in this part of our worship together?
Okay. When people ask me this, it might sound a bit weird, but it's one of the first things I normally say is perseverance. It's actually quite hard. I'm sure it's exactly the same for leading services and preaching. But for musicians, and for a church musician, if you get a gathering of church musicians, they all say the same thing. It's, you have big services and you have services that aren't so big, but you've just got to keep going. You know, you're on a high after something really big, and there's still the next Sunday and you've got to prepare for that. It's the keeping going through that with freshness, with enthusiasm, not to fall back on routine and to become stale is I think a big thing. Growth, because we've got a variety, well, we use a variety of styles here, all of us, absolutely every one of us has to operate outside our comfort zone and learn new things, which is good. But again, we need sometimes encouragement to keep going it. So that's two things, perseverance and growth. And then very specifically at this time, you'll probably know that quite a number of our musicians from St. John's have gone to Bixley, which is great. So we've adjusted who's in which group, and we're just kind of bedding that down. So just at the very moment, there's a need, just if you wouldn't mind praying, that we gel as new groups and we can just keep it going.
Wow. David, thank you for sharing some of that with us this morning. It's easy just to turn up at church and go, okay, somebody somewhere's picked these songs without rhyme or reason. And to hear that there is actually quite a deep level of thought and prayer that goes into it, not just the specific choices that are made week by week, but also just the spirituality behind that as well. I think it's probably given us quite a lot to think about, maybe some stuff we need to repent of. But a lot to celebrate and to give thanks to the Lord for. So actually, just on behalf of the congregation, I would like to say thank you. I would like to say thank you to you and to actually everyone that you represent in terms of musicians and singers. There's a small army of people who produce music, and for the technical folk who take what happens here and put it through the system so that we can all join in and hear it and be a part of it. Guys, thank you so, so much for what you do week after week after week. I think, can we show our appreciation?